SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
We've never been more live. It's never been a bigger show as you're going to get today because the weekend action was sensational. The best hour of your day is now officially underway. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. And my goodness, what we saw from college football action. Alex Orji can't throw a pass on Saturday. And the Michigan Wolverines are easily, I shouldn't say easily, but it just felt like they ran the ball easily and then dispatched USC. You had crazy stuff go on then in Oklahoma. 25-15, my goodness, the defense for the Tennessee Volunteers now adding to the offensive capabilities. We saw the Miami Hurricanes run away with the game against South Florida. The competition will start getting tougher there. And then Sunday action, the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. You had Kansas City on Sunday Night Football. You had crazy comebacks. And those stinking Dallas Cowboys think that Dak Prescott can show up late in the fourth. Like, hey, hey! I threw for over 300 and a couple tutties. How about that, K-Dub?
Man, a lot of good stuff there. I think it's nothing but respect that you opened with the danger man, Alex Orji, breaks Michigan, their biggest win of the season. The obvious correct move to get him in at quarterback. College landscape, man, we can get into it. There's a lot of interesting stuff, but boy, did the NFL deliver yesterday. What an interesting slate. And you hit in a couple of areas. I think in order to avoid any allegations of Eagle fandom with my shirt and hat on here, I will let us get to Sirianni next segment. Dallas-Baltimore. What you just alluded to was pretty good, right? So Cowboys were my best bet. Obviously, I lost that bet. And in no way am I going to sit here and tell you I deserve that bet. It was very funny. Someone tweeted at me. Just wait for Dak to put up a bunch of garbage, meaningless stats in the fourth quarter. That way he can say, hey, look, I had a good game. And interesting, Donnie, because it wasn't meaningless, right? 28-25, you get a stomp, you get the football back. Dallas was ripping and roaring. It does feel like they would have been able to tie that game. All of a sudden, Dak sits there, three total touchdowns, 350 passing yards, and you're like, whoa, that's MVP caliber stuff. But I think the general idea, it is not to say that those statistics were meaningless, but they do not wipe away the Cowboys' first six quarters of football this season in their own building, seeing them down 65-25. That team had no reason to not be locked in from the word go, and you almost have to wonder if them getting back in that game was Baltimore foolishly checking out the same way they did against the Raiders. Give the Ravens their credit. Lamar iced a football game, something sometimes we worry about whether he can or cannot do. I'm not saying it's a Cowboys panic button, Donnie, but that was a very, very bad performance that when we now look big picture, if we're power rating the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys have to be dropped. Again, 0-2 in your own building, that is a terrible, terrible way for the Cowboys to open up their season.
And also, let me take a look at the Jerry Jones all-in. Obviously, they were all out. They weren't all-in in the offseason. And we laughed at their running back field, right? Yeah, Rico Dowdle stinks. Ezekiel Elliott's a fossil, and Deuce Vaughn can't play in the NFL. It's okay, well, let's see what we can do. It's going to be Dak Prescott. It's going to be CeeDee Lamb and not much else out there. Forget about the offense, Kevin. Move it over to the defense. Is Dan Quinn leaving just now? You're saying like, oh my goodness, like we just can't hold it together. There's a lot of talent from that secondary to the linebacking position to the defensive line, and they're getting wasted now on a week-to-week basis, which is crazy because you would have thought, and again, sometimes the evaluation changed. Hey, look at that, man. Dallas defense was phenomenal against Cleveland. Boy, that Dak made the right moves in that game. This team is going to challenge for the NFC, only to find out that New Orleans obliterated them, and then the Baltimore Ravens, through their own doing, probably could have hung 50 points on them. But as you said, they checked out as if there wasn't 20 minutes of game time left in that game. It's like, okay, forget about first down. Let's run it. Let's just get the clock off. You knew that this is the way the NFL goes. If you have a decent quarterback, which Dak Prescott is, you're going to make a comeback if the other team legitimately just stops trying to play offense. That's why you get that close game and almost bit them again, all for off of getting bit against the Vegas Raiders. But the question for me is, I don't know where this Dallas defense is at this point. Now, here's what I was talking this morning. They're 1-2 now, Kevin. You know there is a defender on that team, Micah Parsons, who's looking to reset the bar in the NFL, and he might do it anyway. But you know what starts to happen now? When he's not getting sacks and they're not playing well, people start to freelance. I'm in my contract year. You're telling me I'm going to have seven sacks this year? You got to be kidding me. So on every running play, Kevin, you're still trying to play and sack the quarterback. On every pass play, you're abandoning everything but trying to get to the quarterback themselves. The worry for me is not even the offense, Kevin. It's the defense in Dallas. What gives, man?
Well, listen, I don't think you would be wrong to go that direction, but let's get into it here. Last season, I called that Cowboys defense massively overrated. That defense survived off turnovers. Now, in the NFL, getting turnovers is king. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they were a bad defense. But what it means is down to down, you could move the football on them. No problem. Remember, Donnie, last year when the Eagles played the Cowboys and like didn't punt until the middle of the fourth quarter, but had 10 points because everything was a turnover? Again, the Cowboys get credit for that. But turnovers at times can be fluky. It's hard to bank on that. Now, the Cowboys had been incredible at turning opponents over under Dan Quinn. So at some point, you kind of tip your cap. You say, okay, a Dan Quinn Dallas defense is going to turn their opponent over. Well, guess what? Dan Quinn's gone. Yeah. And Daron Bland, Mr. Pick Six, is also injured. Now you pick your head up, and that dominant defense is missing two of the most important pieces that made them who they were, certainly last season and in years prior. It's not that good of a defense. It's what we've seen. You can move the football on them. So you know what they need? Their highest paid quarterback ever, their almost highest paid wide receiver ever, to be hanging and competitive with the teams in front of them. Because, Donnie, let's look at the Ravens, right, through their other two games. Is that a defense that looks anywhere near as good as last year's?
No,
not even close. Right now. Not even close. Okay, how about the New Orleans Saints, right? What about that defense, right? And again, I know people are like, oh, come on, now the Eagles barely – No. The Eagles had about 1,800 yards of offense in that game, but decisions we will get into left points out there and available. And we'll get into that. The Saints defense, who I'm super high on, but again, didn't look like world beaters in that game, and now we throw everything out that's ever happened against a Bryce Young Carolina Panther team. Oh, the Dallas Cowboys, Donnie, you're right. The defense is concerning. It's both sides of the ball. I don't think there's any aspect of this Dallas Cowboys start to the year where you look at and go, hey, this is exactly what we're looking for. I don't know how any – CeeDee Lamb doesn't have an 8 or 9 catch game yet. Nothing is delivering the way it's supposed to.
Drop passes by CeeDee Lamb, caught a ball, got stripped, heading into the into the red zone, I should say, at that point. So he hasn't been sharp. But also, looking at the Dallas Cowboys, beat the Browns opening day, lose to the Saints and the Ravens. Say, okay, they're 1-2. Oh, easy win next week at the Giants. Is that an easy win? Giants were competent. Just their management wasn't competent versus the Commanders. They didn't bring a kicker, essentially, and lost that football game. They played a bad Browns team and beat them. Same thing with the Dallas Cowboys. But then after that, Kevin, at the Steelers, Lions, at the 49ers, at the Falcons, Eagles, Texans are the games coming up here for the Dallas Cowboys. It feels like they're about to run the gauntlet, and they better get correct here. And it's no shame losing to the Ravens. I actually thought the Ravens would win yesterday. It's the way they lost. And nobody's going to take away from that game. Ah, what a heart-wrenching loss. Now, you got smoked, and the other team just fell asleep at the wheel to let you come back. And then they woke up like, oh, we're supposed to get first downs and actually play offense. And they did that at the end of the game. But from a Ravens perspective, up off the mat here, Derrick Henry looks like the Derrick Henry you were supposed to acquire and get. He was phenomenal on the ground. Lamar Jackson, I said this, Kevin. If that game plan on offense was instituted against the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, Baltimore would have a ring on their finger as it sits right now. But for some reason, they just wanted to pass it all over the place. Much more NFL action coming up next. It's a Monday, Armchair Quarterback Day. Having fun, it's Kevin and Donnie right here on Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here on Moneyline, Armchair Quarterback Monday, Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM Channel 159. Take a look at that Philadelphia Eagles-New Orleans game yesterday. And obviously, you guys know Kevin and I are Eagles fans.
Yes.
I don't really get home until after halftime, so I just have to listen to the radio riding home. Typically, it's like the NFL Network on Sirius, but when there's an Eagles game at 1 o'clock, I'll just chime into like the local station. So you don't really get a visual, obviously, listening to the radio. But I kept saying to myself, this is really odd, and what a shame it's going to be. Where the New Orleans Saints have scored, I think, a combined 60-some-odd points in the first half of their first two games, have 3 points on the board. Starting the fourth quarter, it's 3-0, and saying to myself, on what planet would this Philadelphia Eagles defense wake up today and hold one of the more dominant offenses through the first 2 weeks to 3 points, and they're probably going to lose this game? Now, let's go step by step and start this out. Because if we are looking from a perspective, the Eagles needed to win that game, yes, so did the Saints. The Eagles came away with the victory, which was crazy. Also keeping in mind, midway through the first half, they're down Mekhi Becton and also Lane Johnson on their right side against a pretty formidable defense in an atmosphere that younger players aren't used to, where you can't hear the snap calls here. I thought they did well in that. Also, no A.J. Brown, and then you saw Devonta Smith get knocked out of the football game, and eventually the Eagles won. But let's start here with the culprit here, as Nick Sirianni, as I like to say. There are sometimes, Kevin, I like the aggression. And I have to say, from a prop perspective, from a fantasy football perspective, these coaches these days, they are your best friend. You need a touchdown catch. You know what doesn't help? A field goal from 38 yards for your kicker. Even though it might be the right decision, you betting-wise in that game going like, oh, I need Jalen Hurts to throw 2 touchdowns. I need this guy to score a touchdown. They're going for it at an unprecedented pace. But sometimes, Kevin, you just can't look at the computer and say, oh, it says go for it here. I didn't agree at certain times with the Eagles' decision-making last weekend to throw the football, even though it was wide open and Saquon dropped it. I would have ran the football, had it maybe a first down against the Falcons, or I would have ran it, picked up a yard or two, and then maybe even gone for it again on the ground. Just gives you extra opportunities. They blew that. They lost that game. Nick Sirianni was on one yesterday, and I didn't agree with half of these decisions, and I'm shocked they won the football game.
So there were two turnover on downs that happened for the Philadelphia Eagles. The big one that everybody lost their mind over, and again, I get it, was right before half, 12 seconds on the clock, one timeout in your pocket, at probably the, 13, 14-yard line, give or take.
Yeah.
The Eagles had a 4th-and-1. 3-0 football game, you kick the field goal, you're tied going at half, and everybody's issue as the Eagles lined up for a tush push, right, was... what does that first down do? You'll have to use a timeout, take an unlikely shot into the end zone. You're going to end up kicking a field goal anyway. Just kick the field goal, which, again, I understand and is probably where you land on that decision, Donnie. The reason I didn't mind the play is the fake tush-push Saquon Barkley wraparound, if you will. I imagine... in practice, because I would hope this hits a 70 if you needed it yard touchdown every damn time. Now, maybe the New Orleans Saints were so smart that they said, actually, we don't care if they tush push for a first down. We're going to watch for the edge and Saquon, which credit to them and their defense. The reason again, if they tush pushed it, that would have been incredibly stupid. What they essentially, in my opinion, did, Donnie, was a trick play that they thought would hit a home run. And that is why I didn't mind the decision. They were trying to score a touchdown on that play, not pick up 1 yard.
You're right. In theory, it was the right move because running a tush push with 12 seconds going, one timeout, which would get you the 1 yard. Then you call timeout with 10 seconds and go, we're supposed to throw it in the end zone when they have 9 guys waiting back, which already threw a red zone interception to Tyrann Mathieu earlier in that football game. But my theory is the play call actually was okay at that point. I just thought you should just take the 3-3, go into the half, you survive. Because if it was 21-17, Kevin, and then they're like, hey, look, a field goal ain't winning you this game because the Eagles can't stop anybody. But the defense was playing so well that you only give up 3 points through those quarters. Now, let's head into the fourth quarter where the real magic began. Saquon Barkley finishes with 17 for 147 and two touchdowns. Didn't even get the football in the first quarter. How could you do that? Well, the Saints kept the ball for like a 9-minute drive to start that. So obviously the Eagles were on the eight ball right away. Mm-hmm. But that second half showed you what you can do and some elite talent. Because for my money, I look at Jalen Hurts' numbers. 29 of 38 for 311. He said, ooh, that's really good. If you watch the football game, it was maddening. He throws turnovers when you can't have those in the red zone, when you do need points. When there's plays like at the end of the ball game, when you saw the Eagles had a 7-3, was it? I think it was, or it might have been 7-6 at that point. I forget what it was. When Elliott missed the 60-yarder. But the Eagles were at a third and 11. Where, and again, sometimes I'm going to blame Kellen Moore on this too. Your only objective here is not actually to get the first down. It's get a couple more yards to make it a more makeable field goal, which I'm so surprised Jake Elliott missed a 60-yarder to the right. Mm-hmm. Runs back there, runs around, throws it away. Exactly the wrong thing. Obviously, he can't take a sack in that spot. But also, just some of the things that he does were really crazy. Even late in that game, he had time in the pocket. But I think Brissé got to the sack for the second time before that Dallas Goedert play. But I do have to give a lot of effort for the Philadelphia Eagles in winning that football game. Yes, the Dallas Goedert play was a little bit of a fluke, but it was a play that was run that's designed for a pick play from your own guy, not two of your own defenders to run into each other, which set it up. Let me ask you this question, because yes, as a fan, I love that play. It was perfect. You got inside the 5-yard line and got out of bounds, which meant you have all your timeouts left and it's a first down. So your only goal is, I understand if we score this touchdown, we still have to get a 2-point conversion, which, again, that touchdown by the New Orleans Saints where they didn't get the two, which was massive. The Eagles do get the two. But leading up to it, Kevin, lost my mind that Saquon Barkley ran that football in on the first play there. Because all I kept saying to myself is, they don't get the 2-point conversion. This game is a loss because they didn't. Yeah. I would have almost much rather, and it sounds so stupid here, knowing that the Eagles end up winning the football game. Kevin, at the 4-yard line, you know what I do? It's tush-push time. I get 1 yard. They call their timeout. It's tush-push time again. Now, you might even score the touchdown on the tush-push because they're probably going to let you score at that point. But you have to be smart enough on that first carry. If Saquon Barkley goes down at the one, because if you watch the play from the overhead when they showed like the all-22 sort of, or that like top view, the defender tackles him and is going backwards on purpose to make sure he got in. Did you have a problem with that as we go to break?
I did not, because I just think with what I've seen from the Eagles down there, please just put the points on the board. Just put the points on the board.
Chat box is popping out here. What a time here. Sports Grid On Demand on YouTube. That's how you get into the chat box. It's Donnie and Kevin on a Monday. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. NFL football is tremendous. Just talked about two of the bigger games in the NFC. The Philadelphia Eagles over New Orleans Saints 15-12, and the Dallas Cowboys getting beat by the Baltimore Ravens, dropping them to 1-2. But there was a lot of other performances on Sunday afternoon that are certainly worthy of mention. And the one that I know you get a kick out of this, the Packers and the Titans, 30-14 final, where you say, Jordan Love can't win the MVP because of how good like Malik Willis is at this point. And I don't really look at it as Malik Willis being great, because he's been phenomenal for the first 2 weeks. But I think I know the ceiling of Malik Willis. It just shows how good a coach that LaFleur is. It's like, you know what? This kid has been much maligned here. I can get him to perform, not at a high level, but he can manage this really good offense. And they did that, man. The Packers, back-to-back weeks on defense, phenomenal. Malik Willis doing what it takes to win football games. And Jordan Love on the horizon to come back next week against the Vikings. It's a fantastic game.
No quarterback controversy, Donnie? Is that what you're saying in Green Bay? I mean, listen.
Jordan Love to the Dolphins? Yes, and we're saying it.
Here's the thing. I'm not telling you that I don't think Jordan Love's a very good quarterback. I'm not telling you that I think Malik Willis is better than him. I just, when it's, the, you know what's going to happen, though? And here's what's going to happen, folks, okay? Be week 14. We'll be doing MVP conversations, and Jordan Love will be in the mix. And Donnie will be right that it didn't matter, but I know that I will still be screaming my head off that they went 2-0 with Malik Willis. How is this guy sitting here MVP? The one thing I got a kick out of, man, that game on the drive home is, 7-7, right? Packers did score first, and then I think it was 10-7 Yep. And then Will Levis throws a pick six. And I'm like, here we go again. People are telling themselves probably, man, Titans would be 3-0 if Will Levis just stopped with those turnovers. It's like, now they ended up getting their doors kind of rolled and blown off. And again, there will be times to bet to Tennessee. But Will Levis is a problem, Donnie. He is one of the worst quarterbacks in football. So it's when you do the, as long as Will Levis protects the ball, it's like, that's not, it's like if you bet the Browns, and you're like, man, if Watson gets back to form, this team's incredible. Yeah. I thought that last year, right? But it's not going to happen. The reality for the Cleveland Browns is, aside from paying Watson all that money and all the off-field stuff that, you know, certainly makes it seem like Deshaun Watson shouldn't really even have a place in the league.
Yeah.
He's terrible. He is terrible.
Brutal.
He's not average. He's not as good as his contract, right? He's bad. Like Dak Prescott, Donnie, who is now the highest paid quarterback in the league, when he has bad games, people will mention his money. But we all know he's one of the at least 12 best quarterbacks in football. Watson is comfortably one of the 10 worst, probably much lower than that in this league.
Deshaun
Levis. Watson, I'm saying now.
Oh, Deshaun. Oh, gosh.
I'm just saying, like we at times, right, when we break these games down, and I'm not saying I don't do this, right? If people bet the Titans, and if Will Levis stops turning it over, this team's really good. And then Will Levis turns it over, and you're sat there with a losing ticket. And with the Cleveland Browns, like, man, if Watson can just get back to how good he used to be, this Browns team's going to be awesome. Well, Watson's not getting back to what he used to be. The guy that was in Houston playing at an MVP level multiple seasons is not coming back. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in our league.
Let's talk about some shockers. And by the way, we are waiting on MRI news here for Sam Darnold, and hopefully it's going to be good news because I think he came back in that game anyway at that point. But again, never know until it comes back from the MRI machine. 34-7, they absolutely Hulk smashed the Texans, and I was surprised by that. And I lost my best bet yesterday on over 1.5 touchdowns for C.J. Stroud when I was listening in the car going, 14-0 at the half? That's fantastic. I got an entire half against a prevent defense to get after it. C.J. Stroud throws that dump-off touchdown pass. You got a quarter and a half to get one touchdown pass. And when I saw, because I didn't buy the ticket this year, just watching on the red zone, so getting up there on my phone, I saw him moving the football, Davis Mills in. I was like, of course, that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The only thing I was happy about is Davis Mills didn't drive him all the way down the field and throw a touchdown pass. He drove him down the field and stalled out in the red zone, so they couldn't score that second touchdown. But the Minnesota Vikings look every bit the part, and it's not even Kevin focusing on the offense, which looks great. That defense, through three games, may be the best in the NFL right now, along with teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. Brian Flores is going to probably end up getting himself a head coaching job somewhere. And him plus O'Connell is as good of a 1-2 punch this league has to offer, no doubt.
Yeah, I was impressed by that overall. More football coming up next, people. Make sure you keep it right here. SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. The best hour of your day. It's underway.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Armchair Quarterback Monday, having some fun. Chatbox Lively out here. Get involved. Sports Grid on demand. More subscribers every single day. Get in the chat box, hit the subscribe button, turn the notification bells on. That'll let you know that we're live there. Also, if you're watching on sportsgridradio.com, on our Sports Grid app, or certainly through SiriusXM Channel 159, the place to be. By the way, last night, I thought the game would stay under, and my handicap was I don't trust the Falcons. Turned out both of those were true, but my goodness, late in that game, Kevin, as we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles going for it on fourth down, the Falcons did it twice. One they absolutely needed to do. The other one was questionable as the Falcons now dropped the 1-2, and my theory stands firm. Doesn't matter who they play, where they play, who they have on their own team, as long as you have Patrick Mahomes, you are just fine.
Yeah, for now. We'll see when people start to call them out for what they are. It's early, but you remember last year, Donnie, when the Eagles were 10-1 and everybody said they were paper tigers and eventually the floor was going to drop out underneath them And it reminded them of the year prior's Minnesota Vikings, who were fraudulent and lost to Daniel Jones in the postseason.
Yes.
Early returns are the Kansas City Chiefs are that will be this that team this year. They had their point differential, I think, is plus 13, I believe, sitting at 3-0. They've not looked good. Mahomes is nowhere near the league's MVP. Mahomes is missing throws. He's throwing interceptions. Kelce, I don't know what's going on. I do not know what is going on with Travis Kelce, though, Don. Let me just say this, though. It's not just that he's lost the step. Mahomes doesn't look at him the same.
Correct.
Mahomes is Rice, maybe Travis Backup Kelce gets end. As many looks as Watson nowadays, these football games. There's more schemed looks for Xavier Worthy than Travis Kelce in these games. So, and again, you know, Big Red's just obsessed with running the football in 2024, and Carson Steele gets a zillion carries. There's a lot to get with that game, but I just want to address what was a punch after punch after punch into then all of a sudden a pile driver off the top rope.
What do you got?
Losing some parlays with Bijan Robinson at 50+. That was annoying. But sometimes that's how like prime time goes, right? Like the free leg doesn't come in. Losing some Bijan Robinson in game 35.5, 38.5. Because they're running Tyler Algier, who then makes the or misses the block that costs them the game. Okay, that was pretty tough. Watching the Chiefs win again, because quite frankly, they're infuriating, that was also tough. Having Pat Mahomes over 18.5 rushing yards is one of my favorite bets on the board. Having him enter the final drive with 30 rushing yards and watching him take 13 bleeping yards in knees was one of the biggest slaps in the face.
Tom Brady would never.
No, Tom Brady's so much better than him, it's not even funny. I mean, this guy's terrible. I mean, he's not even the best quarterback in Kansas City history. Didn't Montana put that jersey on? By the way,
the reason why I said Tom Brady, do you remember when he used to take the snaps at the end of the game and step under the center so he didn't lose any yards? Because he didn't want to have minus yards for his career or something like that?
Brady's a beast. Only other way I can. That's something, you know what, Donnie? Sounds like something LeBron would do, to be honest with you.
Which brings us into focus, too, because you talk about that, and I didn't say so. Apparently, he was in shotgun and just taking, he was under center and going back and waiting 5 seconds after taking that knee and running back. Was he in shotgun or was he under center? Mahomes taking the knees.
I think he was under center, or I don't even
and
remember.
Running back,
he just
like
started
five
running
yards at
backwards.
A time.
Yes. He lost five and then four and then four.
The reason I bring that up is like Saturday, which I can't even believe I was sweating this out. I had used my boost on FanDuel on Alex Orji to go over 40 yards rushing. So final drives of the game, he had 47, took a sack to get 43. And all I kept doing was saying to myself from USC, just get this first, which they dropped the third down, first down, and then they threw a pass that was incomplete, which left enough for one snap on the clock. And I said to myself, if you line up in that college BS shotgun and take that snap and take a five-yard loss, I'm going to lose my mind. Now, they didn't do that, but it's funny how you can be through your number, and it's like, I hope they don't take snaps because I lose it. First off, in the NFL, a clocking spike, right, should never count as a passing completion under the same guise of you shouldn't be taking rushing yards away from a guy that's taking a knee at the end of the game. Like, theoretically, I don't think that should happen. Same thing, like college, the fact that college football says a quarterback takes a sack that goes off your rushing, which is ludicrously stupid, but it's just the way that things are at this point. But go ahead about Kansas City on those for you.
Yeah, so to get off of my own wager, though, right, as far as the Falcons go, DRS, should they kick the field goal the first time? Maybe. They should have been on the one-yard line.
I know what you're talking about,
Here's the thing, man, with Kansas City. Last week, they get that call against the Bengals. And the reality is it was pass interference. So it's one of those things where because the Chiefs just completely inherited the we get all the calls thing from the New England Patriots.
Yes.
And I don't think the games are fixed or rigged. It's not that. It's just sometimes a team gets every break. And it's also elevated when a team plays in prime time 24/7. And that's, of course, the life of the Kansas City Chiefs. But this football team, gets that call last week, and it wins them the game. A game they had no business winning. Again, a correct call. A correct call. But ultimately, it would have been more common, I feel, that that call doesn't get made and Chiefs fans are losing their mind that it didn't. And instead, they got the call. And literally the next week, what I thought was a more egregious pass interference penalty is uncalled. I just, you cannot make this up. You can't. And it's becoming a thing where they are just, it's bleh to watch them play football. They are nowhere near as, I'm sorry, they are not anywhere near as good as they are booked, hyped up, discussed. But as they covered another number, teams some have 2-1 against the spread, they just find a way. Last season, that was the cap on them winning a Super Bowl. Not the offense, not the defense, not Mahomes, it was just, they'll find a way. And they found a way all the way to a second consecutive Super Bowl. In this moment, Donnie, I struggle to believe if they play at this caliber all year long, they will find a way to a three-peat. It cannot possibly be.
Yeah, I don't know. Last year was the way that they should have never found a way. I thought they were the least talented team they've had since Patrick Mahomes been there. They walked away with a Super Bowl by having the most improbable, dominating Super Bowl run I'd ever seen, beating opponents you're not supposed to beat here. And they did it. So then that's why I have that whole offseason.
Did they look better to you this year?
No.
Would look better this year?
I thought they would look better on offense. But now that you're like, okay, yeah. Worthy doesn't look like he's going to be a participant. And we did think Travis Kelce was going to lose a little bit from what he had even last year because you just get older. But Travis Kelce he's not even a part-time player on this offense. Like it's Rasheed, which is crazy because what would happen if the NFL steps in there and goes, hey, Rasheed Rice went buck wild in the offseason. He's down 8 games, suspended. I don't know what the Chiefs would do. Like, they would get killed, but like they have Carson Steele in the backfield as their running back. No Travis Kelce. Rasheed Rice is your only viable threat, and here they are 3-0. And I just laugh and go, that's just because of Patrick Mahomes. It's just what he does. It doesn't matter the opponent. They will find a way to win. And you're right, on that pass interference at the end of the game, I thought it should have been called, but in the moment, it did look like a bang-bang play if you're not watching all angles of what's happening. The difference in that first game is the play was so egregious on fourth down, wide open in everybody's sight. It's almost like they had to call that. Like if that was like a Hail Mary, never would have been called. Like you can beat each other up in the end zone and the refs are going to go like, you're not getting one over on us here. Like if you're lucky you're even in this game, you're going to ask us for a Hail Mary pass interference. But when you did slow it down, it was clear. Like the guy has back turned tackling Pitts in the end zone. It's like, it's all good. But still, Atlanta probably should have won that football game. And I would have taken the 3 points there, which then at the end of the game, you would have been able to go ahead and kick the field goal and get a win. So tough scene overall at that point. Other games we're going to talk about after the break. Sean McVay, I apologize. You got that team ready to play and in a comeback fashion, outrageous. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline right here on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I do want to flip over to the doubleheader we have tonight on Monday Night Football. The boys will be live in studio. Game number one, Jacksonville Jaguars, Buffalo Bills. Game number two, Washington Commanders taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Both home teams are favorite. 5.5 points here for the Bills. 7.5 points here for the Cincinnati Bengals up against Washington. Just want to go over a couple other quick scores yesterday. You said like some scores like come back shocking, right? Like Seahawks 24-3, not really all that shocking because the Dolphins look like they've legitimately packed it in. But that Broncos 26-7 game, boy, that caught me off guard. Watching that on my phone, like listening in on the way home, saying like, my goodness. Now, tomorrow is my day. I like to watch some of these football teams that I don't get a great look at. I need to watch that game because from what it sounds like, the Broncos just beat the hell out of the Buccaneers, and I didn't expect that.
No, I didn't expect it either. Not going to act like I did. However, we know that Sean Payton, I still think, is at least can be a good coach, right? Can get his team up. And I do think there are look-ahead spots in this league or there are spots where, you know, you're Tampa Bay, Donnie. You just got revenge against Detroit in the same building your season ended last year. In comes Denver, Bo Nix. Oh, my God. We're not paying attention. And it also does serve as a bit of a reminder that the entire, the Bucs defense is just, you know, ripped to shreds. I mean, that team is like, I don't know what the injury report's going to look like going into the game against Philly, but if they're missing Vita Vea and Antoine Winfield, the Eagles should rip that team to shreds. No doubt.
I don't know.
I'll tell you something. No?
What happens to Noah Kai Becton and no Lane Johnson? Like, doesn't that sort of offset it at that point? No Devontae? No AJ?
No, all right. You know what? You got me beat there. You got me beat there. Lane Johnson's also on, like, year 10 of being the most important Eagle on the team. Every time he's out there, they can't move the football. But the result that, again, surprise isn't even the word, but Andy Dalton being the first quarterback this season to throw for 303. I don't even know what to do with that, Donnie. I don't even know. Like, I thought the Panthers were
Antonio
in a
Pierce,
good spot.
Yeah. Tell me about Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, now listen. Now, you want to talk about the worst coach in this league, man. I mean, you get a lifeless Carolina coming into your building. Andy Dalton's ripping you to shreds. All you're trying to do is run the football. You can't do that. Your run game is atrocious. He doesn't care. Supposed to be coaching up defense. Again, Deontay Johnson looking like wide receiver one out there. He is going to be a one and done. Unless Vegas just doesn't care. Like, I don't see any other way for that to play out. But, like, the situation in Carolina, like, I didn't think – it's so funny how I'm willing to overreact, but that's what you have to do sometimes in this business.
Yeah.
I felt that they didn't need to rush Bryce Young back. I felt that Bryce Young legitimately could be their starting quarterback next year. Looking at how excited Kanellis was in that locker room, looking at how excited everybody was on the sideline.
Every time he came off the field, it looked like a party around Andy Dalton.
If you're Bryce Young, you need to be like, please send me home. I cannot
Mike
be
White,
here. This is
Mike White scenario
in
the
so
Jets.
Awkward. It's so awkward, Donnie. It is. I was uncomfortable. I mean that, like, I was uncomfortable looking at that, thinking about that kid. And I'm not saying Kanellis shouldn't be happy he gets his first win, and Dalton shouldn't be happy to playing in the league again, and Deontay Johnson shouldn't be happy all of a sudden he's a superstar. Okay, they should all be thrilled. Them going from the worst team you have seen to the most explosive offense, that is unimaginable to me.
Yes. You know what the best part about this is too? Because typically back in the day for me, like when I was under different circumstances, team totals and stuff like that, I even put the tweet out early in the week, like, team total with a picture of Andy Dalton. Now, I never got back to it because, quite frankly, it wasn't as if it's like, okay, good football team, quarterback we never heard of is getting in here. Let me do a little background on him. Can he score two touchdowns in a game? This was the most lifeless franchise in the NFL, getting pummeled on a week-to-week basis, saying late 30s, Andy Dalton inserted in there, supposed to give him a jump start, and boy, he did. Like, they moved it at ease. Like, if you wouldn't have told me, like, if that was, like, game number one, like, you know what? Bryce Young was under the weather for, like, week number one. I'm like, whoa, when Bryce Young gets back, man, that's a pretty good football team. He's going to be around. Let's see what he can do. Like, they went from we can't get first downs to watch everybody look like they're their best form. Running game was perfect. Quarterback was perfect. Wide receivers were perfect. Thielen's catching touchdowns again. It was like the good vibes are all over there. And then Thielen ends up hurting his hamstring at that point. But it's crazy on a week-to-week basis in the NFL how you can see some of these games and try to say, how the heck can you predict it? Easy question. For an answer, you can't predict it here. Now, predictions tonight, Kevin. 7:30 game, 8:15 game. Jacksonville, Buffalo, Washington, Cincinnati. One team is 2-0, Buffalo, their favorite. One team is 0-2, the Cincinnati Bengals, their favorite here, which is always a lot of fun to look at. For me, it's simple. I do think both of the home teams win. Buffalo on that long extended break after wasting the Miami Dolphins, taking on Jacksonville. But as I asked Ben the same questions this morning, I love an 0-2 football team that had aspirations for either a playoff run, a division run, or a Super Bowl run, which is why I like the Baltimore Ravens. How's this team start 0-3? They know the depths that they have to reach down to get a win. You can't go 0-3. Does the same things apply with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who lost to a really bad Cleveland team at home last week? And Buffalo has the home field advantage and the rest advantage and is playing well.
Yeah, it's a great spot for Buffalo. But Josh Allen has those roller coaster games, and if he has a bad one tonight, you know, the Jags will be able to step up. And I think to your point, Donnie, we've seen some surprises already over the weekend. And you and I used to play this game a lot on the when we do the night show, I feel. I saw a tweet today. The Bills-Bengals money line parlay -125. And you just kind of look at it and you're like, something's going wrong here. And it's funny because if you're going to pick one of these dogs to win, rightfully, I think a lot of people will pick Jacksonville. Let's call it what it is. Cincinnati does not win this football game tonight. Forget what that means for Daniels. I don't care about Washington. I think they're terrible.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, then, full panic, right? Zach Taylor getting fired. Burrow, what's his story? Like, Higgins is back, Donnie. Chase should be, you know, rested and ready. The pressure's on. Pressure's on.
Now, I'm going to give a little bit of an update of what I think we're going to get tonight. Are you ready for this? Hey, so-and-so, what do you think about Washington-Cincinnati tonight? Jaden Daniels, they open up the playbook. They go up-tempo. They surprise. They move the football through the air. Great game out of Jaden Daniels. They end up winning against Cincinnati. Could we be hearing that tonight here? Maybe, people. One more segment to go. Keep it here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here. Doubleheader on Monday Night Football. I'm looking forward to this. And a lot of boosts out there, people. Shout out to certain sports books that are up in the ante, and I feel the need to oblige, even if sometimes I know it might be detrimental to me on that night's basis, Kevin. For the war, it's very good. Sometimes you lose some battles, as you hear, but make sure you win the war is to keep some of these boosts as high as possible. I think it's a pretty good boosting night tonight. I have some angles that I like. Now, if you guys are going to watch tonight, we'll be in studio. But as you know, you follow Kevin on Twitter, you follow me on Twitter. We put these plays out well in advance here of what we're on, and we talk about them during the game and have some fun with it. I do think they're angles. Like, if I'm looking at prop bets tonight on players that I want, Kevin, I'm probably going to be looking a lot here. And by the way, let me ask you this question. The Stephon Diggs, I had that yesterday in one of my round robins, and it hit, made a little bit of money on that round robin. Stephon Diggs returning home. You buy anything with Gabe Davis coming home, like 38.5 yards? Like, I understand just because you go play in your old building there, it doesn't mean you catch more passes. But I'm always under the belief, like at the professional level or a level that makes a difference, how big it is for a previous player to go into his building and understand your quarterback has your back. Not to make you the lead wide receiver like Stephon Diggs actually was there, but just to say, I know what this means to you. Red zone look, I know you're the second read. You know what? I might get to you a little bit faster here on this point. Does that play into it at all for you?
I don't hate the look because yesterday, it was really funny. It was on air. Yeah. You made the Diggs point. I was already on the bet, and I was like, I didn't even remember he played in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And it might not even be, Donnie, where Trevor Lawrence is like, all right, I'm going to get Gabe the ball tonight. It might just be Gabe Davis is more focused. He's more open, right? Running crisper routes.
He's in my ear every side on the sideline all the time.
Like, dude, I'm telling you, I got my guy. I got him dead to rights. Yep. So, yeah, I don't have any beef with the angle at all. I'm really interested. And you know, like you said, it's a little earlier in the day. We'll send out before the first game kicks off because, you know, I won't – there's no game time tonight. Pre-game show, Casey has that at 6 o'clock. So make sure you tune in there.
Yeah, you get the night off from GTD. I mean, you're working an extra day.
No, it means we're working an extra game. But I'm wondering, does gunslinger Josh still exist in Buffalo? I know they've not needed him or didn't need him last week.
I love Travis.
The game against Arizona.
Yeah.
You're not worried about the Bigsby stuff at all? I'm not saying you should be, but I've heard
that's why
it.
I like Etienne. He's injured, though, Bigsby, with the shoulder.
Oh, is he?
Tank's got a shoulder.
Questionable
for the game. So even if he plays, we know he's not up to speed. That's why.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fantastic then. How do you – and again, it's early because I know we're still parsing through stuff.
Yeah.
Higgins, Chase, what are you doing with that?
I over 1.5 touchdown passes I do like for Joe Burrow. But also, like, both of those wide receivers are plus money. Hear me out on T. Higgins. He's going to get a fraction of the snaps he usually gets, Kevin. But you know what I know, and you know as well. The snaps aren't coming at his own 25-yard line. Those snaps are coming on red zone targets because that's where you can only run. You only need to run 10 yards, and you could post up. Yeah. Very less likely going to hurt a hamstring than running a 50-yard fly route on a 3rd and 4 to run your wide receiver off. If you take both of those wideouts, Kevin, one of them is going to score a touchdown tonight, and they're plus money. So So I'm almost thinking about trying to devise like a couple of boosts, Kevin. On one side, make sure Chase has a touchdown. On the other side, make sure T. Higgins has a touchdown. Or if you just say, let me just keep it on one side, Higgins and Chase, along with maybe a Burrow-type prop. But I don't like to do that because I think you splash the pot sort of on yourself. Like, of course, you said one was going to score where you can light another parlay up, but you burn it by putting it together. One of those, if not both, will score a touchdown tonight for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a good point. Burrow has to attack. And that could be, you know, depending on, you know, what the boosts are. But, like, Burrow and Allen combinations, I think, could be popular in the streets tonight. We do have four real quarterbacks is how I'll describe it, right? Burrow, Allen, Lawrence, and Daniels. So there's going to be a lot of really good. You know what would be a good boost on? Like an Allen, Daniels rushing, something like that. Like there's some good cross-game
boosts we can see from the books. We'll have to fire our parlay up. Yeah, we're going to have to fire because I guess it theoretically same game. Or wait, I wonder if they're same games on the FanDuel tonight or at 365 where you can like put them in both of the games. Because then we can go all across the board rushing props on every quarterback as one massive parlay. Tremendous. Or even, I can't really alt it lower because the numbers are going to be so low at that point. But that would be a fun one to put in tonight. All four quarterbacks are over the rushing.
Now, give me one last prediction before we get out of here.
Go.
Will Lisi be on Dawson Knox tonight?
Yes, he'll be on Dawson Knox. He'll be on Jaden Daniels over his passing prop and probably be on Washington since, you know, Jaden Daniels is the quarterback. How does he feel about this? Two LSU quarterbacks, though. Is this like brain buster?
Likes the over.
Alted, people. JP behind the wheels of steel, getting busy, making us look good here. For Kevin Walsh, Johnny Wright's at tonight, Monday Night Football doubleheader. We'll be back on a Tuesday. Enjoy your bets tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.